Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, I am going to be discussing natural kitchen swaps that you can make in your homestead kitchen. I remember when I was first starting in my homesteading journey, I started in the kitchen and it expanded from there. I love to share the message that homesteading can start in your kitchen, and I want to help you get started. So let's dive in. Reshaping your kitchen to be a homestead kitchen doesn't mean you need to have a window that overlooks sprawling acreage or chickens clucking about your backyard. It just means that where you cook and prepare your food is more sacred than a McDonald's dining room, and you are being thoughtful about what is happening to the food that will be entering your body. It becomes more of a sacred space. Have you ever stopped to think about how disconnected we are from our food? Being disconnected from food, which is what nourishes our bodies, then disconnects us from our bodies and our minds if we don't have that connection. And I don't think that it is any coincidence that the system has meticulously gotten us to trade our health for convenience. Instead of preparing dinners in the kitchen, we are too tired from an exhausting day of work. So we resort to ordering out. We didn't prepare that food. We have no connection to it. We have no clue where it came from or what is in it. This practice has become so common that people don't bat an eye at ordering out a majority of the week or heading through the fast food line for lunch. I personally don't think that the meat from McDonald's is the meat you think you are getting, but you do you. I believe the system is more nefarious than it lets on, and that it has already corrupted our food on such a massive level. There is a famous quote that says, "If you control the food, you control the people." This is true. There is power in where our food comes from and how it is prepared. That's why you need to start taking your power and freedom back in your own homestead kitchen. A great place to start is evaluating the fats that you are cooking with. We have been deceived by the oils at the store that are labeled as vegetable oil and have the little heart healthy sticker on them, which couldn't be further from the truth. They are not heart healthy. They are causing heart damage and doing your body serious harm. I too used to think that vegetable oil was a good cooking alternative because it was derived from vegetables. It has vegetable on the label. This was back when I was disconnected from my food and never looked further than a simple Google search to find the truth. Ugh. The reality is that the fats that you are cooking with are the base of your kitchen. What are you sauteing your vegetables in? What oils are in your baked goods, like your breads, your desserts? What are you using for sauces? So truly, your fats are your foundation in the kitchen. So it makes sense if you were using vegetable oils, seed oils, to swap them out. Vegetable oils undergo extensive processing, including extraction, refining, bleaching, deodorization. And these processes can involve high heat, chemical solvents, and other methods that may degrade the quality of the oil and lead to the formation of harmful compounds. So think about that. Chemical solvents that are intertwined with something you'll be putting in your body. Did you know that all you have to do to make butter is mix heavy cream for an extended period of time, then just wash the butter with water a few times to get the buttermilk extracted? So would you rather have chemical solvents to process your food or some water? I think the choice is obvious here and paints a bigger picture. I mean, bleaching is involved in creating a food. That is a big yikes. Vegetable oils are also susceptible to oxidation when exposed to high heat, light, and even air. People like to think that vegetable oils are great for cooking. In reality, when you are heating up that oil, it turns from a carcinogen to a carcinogen on steroids. No wonder so many people are struggling with cancers, heart disease, and other health ailments in our modern day. Consuming vegetable oils and cooking with them actually lead you straight to heart disease. So I can't even fathom that some have heart healthy stickers on them. It is a blatant lie. If you want to take control in your kitchen from the ground up, throw away your vegetable oils today. Chuck them straight into the garbage. Replace with three beautiful cooking fats: butter, tallow, and lard. I know you've probably heard of these fats, actually. are the heart and healthy fats, but that is simply a smear campaign. Picture this. If you have a nation of sick people, is that beneficial? Some would say no, but the nefarious people who run the nations realize that sick people generate profit, and a lot of it. What's an easy way to make the masses sick? Through food. Make them sick through the food by confusing them with misleading messages and guidance, then sell them the solution in the form of a pill. Ozempic is a good example, recently used for people who are diabetic and overweight. Instead of fixing the root of the problem, prescribe them medication. This system has effectively weaponized our food and our healing systems. Natural remedies have been outlawed and wiped from general knowledge, and our food is straight poison. You can look into Rockefeller and what he did with our healthcare system. That is a good history lesson. There isn't anything that I would eat from a conventional grocery store, and vegetables are so far down on the list of things I would even consider to eat. Well, let me back up. There might be a few things that I would consider, but vegetable oils, absolutely not. Like, I will die on that hill. I am not going to have any vegetable oils. Butter all day. This is an incredible swap. So swap out your rancid fats for true heart healthy fats. That starts with butter, tallow, and lard. Butter is easily accessible and can be frozen to extend its shelf life. Fun fact, you can also can butter to have it shelf stable. I have a reel going over how I did it. Keep in mind, it is rebel canning because it is a dairy product, but you just need to do what you feel comfortable with. Tallow is a fat product, generally from beef or mutton. It is rendered fat and does require a few extra steps after you get the fat from the butcher, but I love to use it for frying because of its ability to withstand high heat well. No more store-bought oils for frying. You can still enjoy fried foods just with a better oil. I make skincare products with tallow, and it has truly changed my life, given me a glow, and it has repaired my skin. And I've received so many messages and reviews from people on my tallow whipped balm about how it has repaired or replenished their skin, helped them with acne, rosacea. My butcher actually came over to deliver dog food last week, and she was telling me that my tallow has helped her with her rosacea, and I thought that was so cool. You can check out my whipped tallow balm in my Gubba Homestead shop and see what people are saying about it. But yes, edible skincare is pretty neat. So tallow is what I use for my frying, like when I like to fry tacos, but I also use it for my skincare. It's a dual purpose thing. Another great swap for vegetable seed oils is lard. This is rendered pork fat, so similar to tallow, but just from a pig. This is great for frying as well, but really shines with baking. When you make pastries or pie crusts with lard, it helps you achieve beautiful flaky crusts. You can experiment with butter, tallow, and lard in your kitchen and see what you prefer when it comes to baking and cooking. All of these fats can be used to season your cast iron as well. I would recommend lard or tallow more so for that, but you get to decide. The next healthy sub swap out overhaul you can do in your kitchen is with sugars. If you are buying straight white refined sugar from the store, it will go straight through similar processing methods, as the vegetable oils and nutrients are stripped out of it completely during that. The processing method can involve bleaching, and I feel like this is just another one of those things that disconnects us from our food and our bodies. We are taught that sugar is bad. Yes, when it is refined and heavily processed, but sugars and fruits are good, especially during the summer when you have fruits in season. Honey is great. I could live off of honey, and I know honey is a large part of some people's diets around the world. There is a reason for that. Also, have you ever thought about how we are told our infants can't have honey, but as soon as they are 12 months old, they can. Like some magic happens between 11 and 12 months old. And I know we are told immune systems and botulism toxin, but really, why is honey such a contaminated and controlled food? Something to think about, very similar to raw milk. Honey is a great alternative to sugar, and you can bake and cook with it. I sub 1-to-1 in my baking recipe, so if my bread recipe calls for 2/3 cup sugar, I use 2/3 cup honey in its place. You will have to test and adjust accordingly to your sweetness preference. If you are going to start swapping sugars in your kitchen for honey, make sure to get source local raw honey. Honey gets pasteurized. Yes, it really gets pasteurized. And at the point, there is no purpose in eating the honey as it has been stripped of its nutrients. I find it interesting that two of the most nutrient-dense foods, honey and raw milk, are zapped in pasteurization process. I really don't believe it is for our health. Milk and honey are mentioned in the Bible too, which I find neat and interesting. For me, that goes to show how valuable they are as a food for us. Another wonderful food that is mentioned in the Bible and is also on my list. Side note, this podcast is not meant to be biblical. I don't care if you believe or not. I do, and that's just who I am. So it slips into my daily life and my talks and my thoughts, as you can see. I am talking about the kitchen swaps. And then here I am like, oh yeah, that was in the Bible. Anyway, grain is mentioned or alluded to being as the staff of life. So don't quote me, as I don't have my Bible in front of me right now and I'm just recalling from memory. But grains are an important part of our life, and there are healthier swaps you can do for them in your kitchen. I'm not saying to stop eating grain. I'm saying to stop getting cheap, refined, processed, and bleached grains. They are a large foundation in what we eat: oats, flours, pastas, and more. This is if you eat grain. If you don't, then completely skip that. Or, you know, consider looking into higher quality grains and see if it helps with your sensitivities. I almost said insensitivities. Anyways, the flour that is in the baking aisle at your local Walmart is not the flour you want to be consuming. There are better swaps and alternatives. As soon as wheat berries are grinded into flour, then processed at the processing plant, all of the nutrient value has been depleted and junk has most likely been added in to fortify it. It is similar to the process with vegetable oils. The more refines and processing, the nastier it is for you. You don't need that, and you don't need to stop consuming flour and other grain products either, though. You just need to source better quality grains. I know I am a broken record when it comes to this, but see what you have going on locally. See if there are any local grain mills who grind flour that you can pick up locally. See what their process is. Maybe there are some local farms who sell flour from the wheat berries they grow themselves, so you can know what their process is and if the plants are being sprayed. I know my local community farm share program, there's an option for a grain subscription where you can get different kinds of grains delivered weekly or every other week that are grown on a farm locally. Quality definitely matters, especially when it comes to our health. If that is not an option, you can invest in your own grain mill. They truly are an investment into your health because flour loses its nutrients after it is ground, like I mentioned. So if you maintain your wheat berries in your food storage, then use freshly ground flour in whatever recipe you are using. Then you will have a better nutrient profile than the stuff on the Walmart shelves. If you have a KitchenAid, you can get a grain mill KitchenAid attachment. You can get a manual grain mill where you actually hand crank it to grind, and that is actually good to have anyway in your preparedness supplies. You can also just get a dedicated kitchen grain mill. There are tons on the market, so you just need to research and decide what's best for you and your kitchen. A way to do this swap is to purchase wheat berries in bulk, then store them in 5-gallon buckets or in Mylar bags in 5-gallon buckets for long-term food storage. Then when you need flour, you get the wheat berries from your stash and get to grinding. You then get to bake or cook with freshly milled grains that haven't been refined and hopefully are organic and not sprayed. This, again, will give you a better nutrient profile than run-of-the-mill off the shelf at the grocery store, so you can make your pastas. You know, you can grind up oats. You can do whatever you want, but you have that control in your kitchen. Right now, I have built up such a large food storage of high-quality flours and wheat berries that I am working through my flour, then transitioning to strictly ground wheat berries. I do a mix of both, but with food storage, I want to work through what I have stored first so I don't have any waste that goes back to the first in, first out method with food storage. Another easy swap to do in your kitchen and cooking is your salt. The traditional table salt is, again, heavily processed and refined, and by the time it gets to you, the minerals have been sucked from it and it has to be fortified. Most of the time you see salt being fortified with iodine because we are told that we need it in our salt. Personally, I want just straight salt from the source, no refining. I currently use Redmond Real Salt, and I'm not an affiliate for them, but I just enjoy their product. I do enjoy the taste. It is unrefined, so you get all the natural minerals. You can also taste the difference between traditional table salt that has, you know, the little girl with the yellow rain umbrella on it. It's just coming to my mind right now. That is super cheap at the stores. And the Redmond Real Salt, there actually is a taste difference. I can taste it when I just have salt or when I am cooking, baking with it. My body will honestly randomly just crave salt because it is necessary for us to function. I also put a little salt in my water and coffees to help with my hydration. We are told to chug water with no consideration for our salt intake. It is easy to swap out cheap table salt for high quality, and this will help your body get the nutrients that it needs. Another kitchen swap that I have that is not food related but more utility is to get rid of your microwave or stop using it as much. Because the microwave heats your food up so fast, this results in nutrient degradation and loss of nutritional value. The nutrients simply break down. There is evidence that suggests that using microwaves can lead to the formation of harmful compounds like acrylamide and advanced glycation and end products. These are associated with inflammation, the development of chronic diseases. So seriously, the microwave is such a convenient tool, but it is a prime example of where we are trading our health for convenience. I didn't completely get rid of my microwave actually up until a few months ago. About 5 years ago, I realized I needed to stop using the microwave. So I took it out to my garage where it was inconvenient to get, but I could still use it if I really needed it. I would heat up food on the stove or in the oven. And yes, this was a bit of a hassle because it meant extra dishes and time, and it would heat the area. I noticed my food tasted better and I felt better about the process. The only thing I would use my microwave for eventually was just to melt butter when I was baking. So silly because I could just use my stovetop, but I just kept my microwave just for that. Then a few months ago, after I'd already transitioned to mainly melting butter on the stovetop anyway, I had pulled my microwave out of the cabinet it was in, and the edge caught the side of the cabinet and the whole front of the microwave shattered. So I took that as a sign and I tossed her out. You can get little toaster ovens that sit on the counter and you can use them to heat up food without using your oven. But I just found it is important for me to prioritize my health and skip the microwave. I understand everyone has different schedules, busy kids. So do what works for you. Like, there is no judgment. Absolutely, you do you. I'm just here to share what I do and what has worked for me in my kitchen. My last healthy kitchen swap I have for you today is for plastic in the kitchen. A majority of Tupperware is plastic, and so are the covers that we use to cover our food with and store in the fridge. A majority of kitchen utensils are plastic as well. So imagine using a plastic utensil and heating it up while you're cooking and stirring your food around. That's not a good idea. A huge problem with storing our food in plastic, and especially reheating our food in plastic, is that chemicals in the plastic and the plastic itself can leach out into our food. So the chemicals, but then like the plastic can chip away. So if you're cooking on the high heat or you're storing, chemicals in the plastic include BPA or the phthalates, which have been linked to various health issues, including hormone disruption, reproductive problems, and an increased risk of certain cancers. The microplastics that chip away into our foods can also lead to things like inflammation and digestive system damage over time. It just doesn't seem like it's worth the risk to me. So I'd suggest using glass storage containers to store your food and things like beeswax wraps to cover your containers instead of saran wrap. It's simple changes like this that make a difference in the long run. Less plastic, the better. You will also generate less waste. You can use mason jars to store food in your fridge and freezer too. If you're going to store liquids in mason jars in the freezer, you will need to fill the liquid until below the curve. If you fill above the curve in the mason jar, it will expand and burst in your freezer. You can get wood utensils or stainless steel utensils that are worlds better than plastic utensils that can melt or chip flakes into your food. Well, I hope going through some healthy kitchen swaps has been helpful for you. It really just boils down to starting small and staying consistent. You will see the results pay off over time as you don't feel as inflamed and notice how your food will start to taste better when you are making better choices at the ingredients you're using and how you are storing your food, what utensils you are using. They seem so small, but they really do add up over time. So thank you so much for spending your time here, and I genuinely hope this was helpful. So I hope you have a good day, and I'll see you next time. Bye.